Yes, folks, and good morning. A very special good morning to our listeners in Melbourne and Victoria, where it's Freedom Friday, Freedom-ish Friday. But enjoy it today. It'll be interesting to see how folks behave today. It's going to be like Mad Monday after a grand final, I have a funny feeling. 263 days in lockdown. Melbourne, the most lockdown city in the world when it came to coronavirus. So today, letting their hair down and getting their hair cut off, I wonder. That's the first thing that people in New South Wales did, certainly in Sydney, hairdressers everywhere. There would have been a world record of the amount of hair hitting barber and hairdressers' floors last Monday, I'm here to tell you. The Monday before, actually. But there you are. What will you be doing today on your first day of sort of kind of freedom? I'm very keen to hear stories out of Victoria and Melbourne this morning. 133353 is the telephone number. Right now, it is time to welcome to the Triple M airwaves on this long neck Freedom Friday, Adam McDonald, the star of the TV show Aussie Pickers. Good morning to you, brother Adam.
Morning, Skipper. Morning, Simon, Jess. How is everyone?
Where were you last week, son?
I took Wonderboy for a haircut, and it took
a whole day.
It did. You should have seen it. It was halfway down his back. It was the most greasy. It was like a greasy old lavatory mop, and now it's all short back and sides. He looks a million bucks.
And see, everyone was getting haircuts. Now, also, here on the Man Cave, Simon Stevenson, home improvement expert, barbecue king. Good morning to you.
Good morning, guys.
Where were you last Friday?
Mate, look, I had a very busy day at work. The day before, and a very busy day afterwards. Mate, I just needed a break.
Just needed a
break.
What, you're the only person that works here on the Man Cave, are you?
Mate, you know what? You can go home and go and have a cold beer and go to sleep. Some of us, when we get up at this time of the morning, then have an hour, maybe an hour, lay down and have to go to work for the entire day. I'm sorry, buddy.
My heart's pumping. My heart's pumping custard for Simon. So, Simon, he didn't have a late note, Adam. So, what do we do?
Oh,
I know.
Detention.
Detention. Yeah, you are on detention. And also, here, the lady that puts the whole program together, the executive producer, ACRA nominee, Jessica Issa.
Thank you. Stop it.
It's okay, they've stopped.
How's it going, everyone?
feeling good.
Absolutely.
Feeling good. Summer's coming on. I'm feeling amazing. It's like the summer of George. I love this time of year. I'm so seasonal. I'm like salt, you know. Like in the winter, I'm a bit moody, a bit grumpy. But as soon as summer hits, I'm ready to go.
I love that. The summer of George, where George was going to eat a block of cheese and he was going to ensconce himself in velvet.
Yes. I love the velvet idea.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I don't know about the cheese.
Yeah, and he was going to decompress, and Jerry said, haven't you finished decomposing? Decompressing, whatever. The summer of George, where he did nothing for so long, his legs atrophied and he slipped on the invitations. How am I going?
You're going well, mate. You know more than I do, and that's scary.
Jessica.
Oh, that's funny.
Jessica, what did we do this week?
It's been a big week. We have talked about escaping from Aussie deadly animals that came about. The blue-ringed octopus has popped its head in some parts of Sydney. We talked about time travel. Do you think it is possible? McDonald's drive-through hacks. We want to hear from anyone who's worked in a fast food joint. Juvenile crime, what is the solution? And hospitality, is it a harsh industry to work in?
So we've covered a fair bit. 133353 is the telephone number. Another story that we talked about, Jess had a day off this week, by the way. I'm giving you shit, Simon. Jess had a day off.
For you to have another one, mate.
We see, some people have got to keep the ship afloat, Simon, okay? There are people who are leaders in this world, and there are followers. Mm-hmm. There are people that help people into lifeboats, and there are people who sit in lifeboats. Adam, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think I've had a sick day in 14 years at the auction house, apart from my accident where I was out for a bit. I don't think I've had a sick day.
Yeah, as I said, some people scamper for seats in the lifeboat. other people help people, women and children, onto those lifeboats.
Doesn't ship always float, Luke?
I know that rats run from a sinking ship. Maybe Jess and Simon know something we don't. 1-333-53 is a telephone number. Simon,
tell us how you really feel. Let it all out.
Simon.
Yes, mate.
What's going on in your world? Tell us a story. Make it interesting.
Mate, look, I mean, interesting. I had one of my daughters turned back up after being travelling Australia for an entire year today, which is brilliant. She turned back up engaged, which is just awesome. Awesome news. I had one of my daughters and her partner move out this week as well. So
two moved out and two have moved in, correct?
Yeah. The two that have moved back in are only here for a week. No, they are. They're headed to Jindabyne, so they're going to start caretaking a property, which is pretty cool for them. So that's a new career change for those guys to do. So, you know, it's been an interesting week in the Stevenson household. So we've now, you know, just got to make some decisions on whether to downsize a house, because me and the missus have had kids in our house for 33 years together. We've never spent time alone. We've always had kids, so it's going to be a new one for us.
Well, can I just say this to all of you? It's for Sherry Vegas, we call her, because she's born and bred in Las Vegas. It may not be over for you. You may think that all your kids have grown up and gone, but a precedent has been set, Simon. Listen to this.
Go on.
An Indian woman this week has given birth to her first child at the age of 70. It makes her one of the... I'm not kidding. Jess, am I kidding? I'm not kidding. Jivabhoon Rabari and her husband Maldari. How shit is my Indian accent?
Yeah, don't do it again.
Anyway, Jivabhoon Rabari and her husband Maldari, who is 75, so he's much older than her, proudly showed off their son, whose name early this week was not revealed, and they said that they had conceived through IVF. Rabari has said she does not have ID to prove her age, but told reporters that she was 70, which would make her one of the oldest mothers in the world. However, another Indian woman, Emirati Mabangahama, please, I hope I got that right, is believed to be the oldest after having twin girls in September. She was 74. My God, 70. Can you imagine? You think your life's done? You're relaxing. You're in the twilight years. It's time to sit up and maybe be a grandparent and do that. And all of a sudden, at the age of 70, you've got to start again.
Twilight.
You know what's got me
there?
That's
not twilight. That's not bloody midnight.
But and you know what got me there is you. I mean, it was kind of creeping me out a little bit, the age sort of thing, and I was thinking, okay, Viagra must have been involved. Yep. But you said IVF.
IVF.
IVF, which means they planned this. They wanted to do it at 70?
My God. That was my thought too. I thought, this little dirty old bugger, he's done. I don't want to picture having sex with a 70-year-old, but I mean, good on him. Good on him. But now that we
know... You're almost there, Lukey.
But now... Shut.
Come on.
But now that we're... I stopped having sex when I was 50. But the thing is, now that it's IVF, I don't have to picture them having sex. So that's one good point. But even if they were, good on them. Good on them, I reckon.
Great.
But 70? So when this child's 10, she's 80?
Yeah, so what were they doing? Yeah. They were sitting around a conversation one night and they're going, oh, hey, look, it's my 70th birthday. What would you like for your birthday? Well, I think I'd like another kid. Hello.
Oh, well, no, Simon. It's their first.
Oh, yeah. I'd like a kid at 70.
That's why. That's exactly why, because they don't know what they're getting into.
Okay, Adam, Simon.
That's their first one. They think, oh, this is a great idea.
Okay, Adam and Simon, what are they in for? At the age of 70, what are they in for?
Hell.
Too much work. Too much hard work, like going through. So that's 70. They will be 85 when that kid hits the teens, the terrible teens. What are you going to do with a terrible teenager at the age of 85? please.
The problem will be remembering their name and where they live.
Where they are. Exactly.
Don't worry about how do we discipline this child. You say, whose child is that? That's right. You know, it's mine.
Have we got any more information on how long they were married for previous to this? Because, you know, did it take them 20 years to make a decision whether to have children? Or did they just get married and they thought, okay, we're now married, let's have a kid? You know, like there's got to be like a deeper story to this, I think.
All I can tell you is that the birth has smashed previous oldest first mothers by 8 years. The world's oldest mother, officially listed by the Guinness World Records, is Maria del Carmen Basudra de Lara. I don't know where she's from. Where would that be? She was 66 years and 358 days old. She gave birth to twin baby boys back in 2006. So here, and this is deliberate. It wasn't an accident. It was IVF. Jivanban Rabari, 70 years of age, has given birth to her first child, a little baby boy. And I think you're quite right. Discipline won't be the problem. The problem will be remembering who the child is.
Mate, do you know the biggest problem? And I hate to creep you out, but I hope she's not thinking about breastfeeding out in public.
Well, I don't want to be rude, but she could probably leave the child in the pram and she could still breastfeed standing up. I don't know.
It'd be like apples and socks.
Can I say that?
Look where we already are. Look,
but you know, like, could you imagine that? Could you imagine if she's out in public, right? And she's thinking about breastfeeding. People are going to really be freaked out because they're thinking grandmother's breastfeeding the baby. Like, it's just not right. There's nothing right about it. I'm sorry.
It's funny you should mention that because that segues into another story. There is a mother that's gone online. She is from Yorkshire in Great Britain. Cheryl Wynne, 39. And she was proud to announce on her social medias that she breastfeeds her 5 and 6-year-olds. She argues that breastfeeding her school-aged sons is completely normal. The mum won't stop until they're ready. She says she is happy to continue breastfeeding until her boys are 10.
Oh, mate, that's wrong.
Is it why? Tell me why.
That why is it wrong? Mate, I think
they've got teeth.
Because they've got teeth, number one.
Number one, the teeth. But you think about, you know, the fact that these kids have got friends. I mean, the you know, the social aspect of this, I think it could cause them some serious issues mentally down the track. I mean, this is at 5 years old, you know what's going on. I'm sorry, it's not right.
You're a psychologist now, are you?
Oh, mate, give me a break. At 5 years old? Yes. Nah, it's wrong.
133353. Is breastfeeding a 5 and 6-year-old wrong? She says that she's happy to breastfeed them until they're 10.
Yeah. You know, it just shows you need a license to drive a car but not to have children.
133353 is the telephone number. There's been all sorts of news hitting the headlines this week, but I'm sorry, the biggest news story of the week was that it was announced that Emma Watkins, the yellow wiggle, is leaving the Wiggles. I cannot believe that was the biggest news story of the week, boys.
Yeah, I know.
I think it was the biggest news story because we needed to talk about something else. That's why.
Something
we just needed
other
to
than
talk
corona.
About something else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but look,
exactly right.
You know,
so.
I love the ads. I love the ads that are playing on TV right now with her and, you know, with Simon, what's his name? the guy yeah. from the... Yeah, Simon Cowell. They are so
Simon
funny.
Cowell.
They are so funny, those ads. They're unreal.
I'm surprised that the Wiggles are still trudging along. Like, they've been around for years and years.
Yeah, but the,
and with very few lineup changes.
The original Wiggles are back together again, Adam, and they play now. They are back on the road. This is not a word of a lie. This is with Jeff Fatt, you know, Wake Up Jeff and Murray yeah. Field and the rest of them. They play to over 18s. They are the Wiggles. The original Wiggles are now playing to audiences that grew up with them, and they're over 18. So that the Wiggles are now playing at venues where there's alcohol involved. I'm not kidding.
Is that the M-rated or R-rated Wiggles? Is it? Is this what it's
so
come
you can
to?
Go and get on the cans and do the hot potato.
Exactly.
I can see a market for it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd ever go, but.
But so now that now the original Wiggles are playing, and I wonder, are their former listeners now over 18? Some of them are getting close to 25, 26, 27. Do they have underwear thrown at them? I mean, do they have the original Wiggles? Do they have groupies now? I mean, is there a sign that's saying if the big red car's rocking, don't come knocking? Stuff like that.
I don't know. You know, people have all different types of weird and wonderful thoughts. So maybe red skivvies do it for some people.
Maybe
who
red
knows.
Maybe they do. Maybe they do. Lots to talk about. They're the two biggest stories of the week. You're kidding me. You're listening to The Night Shift around Australia on the Triple M network. The Man Cave is open for business. Join us. Already the tone has hit rock bottom. Help us bring it back up, please. That is Lenny Kravitz here on The Night Shift. The quickie is coming up in about 40 minutes, boys. I'll give you a listen to that in just a second. Meanwhile, let's let some people into the Man Cave. John's online. G'day, John.
G'day, chaps.
How are you? Welcome to the Man Cave, John. Simon, brothers Simon and Adam are there. What did you want to say?
I'm 61 and I just had my first child. And
wow! He gets a prize for that, doesn't he, boys?
He's got to get a hat, surely.
It's too late. He should have worn the hat 9 months ago. What are you talking about, Adam? Jesus.
Well, at my age, I don't climb on very often, so, you know.
tell us the story, but I sort of get the story. 61. I've got to ask this. Planned?
Well, I'm 20 years older than the missus, so I thought... Mm. Guys always go before girls, so I figure I've been racing motorcycles my whole life, so traveling around the world racing bikes, so I've never had time to have any kids, and I've had 38 operations, and I've got artificial knees and hips and what have you, and I figure I'm not going to go probably the full innings anyway, so it'd be good if I can just leave my missus with someone, so I don't leave her alone.
Yeah. So in other words, when you shuffle off the mortal coil, you are going to leave your missus with yet another child, because you want your missus to be occupied, to have something to do, correct?
Oh, I just think she would be very lonely without anybody.
Have you thought about getting a cat?
Yeah, had one, but the neighbour drove over it.
Oh, dear. Is it your first child?
Yes, definitely, yeah. First, a little girl.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, mate.
That's awesome. Mate, you do have your work cut out for you. Absolutely. I've got four girls. And mate, I tell you what, just, you know, you've got a lot to deal with in a few years, especially when they start getting to the teenage years and the boys start chasing them, mate. I hats off to you.
Yeah, I'm worried about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if a 75-year-old's going to scare anyone off, though.
I don't know. A father's wrath is a father's wrath.
No. Can I just say this? Can I just chime in here? John will be, when your daughter's a teenager, you'll be in your 70s.
Yeah, if I'm still kicking.
No, yeah, you'll be still kicking.
You will be,
You'll be still kicking. So when this boy brings your daughter home late and you take to him with your walking stick, the police and any magistrate would be lenient, and you can always plead, you know, oh, I didn't know what I was doing. Is this my house? I don't know where I am. You know, you can play that card. You see, you're sweet.
I play senility instead of insanity.
I do it now.
And gets away with it.
I think my biggest worry is, she could be a teenager when I leave her, and that might be hard for her.
Yep.
Well, yeah. You know, I had a boss who was 20 and a bit years older than his wife, and they had children. And there was criticism from some people. But the point is, he's still alive, by the way, and his children loved him and had him. And so is it better to have and love for a short time than not to have and love at all?
Yeah, that's absolutely what people say to me. So I spoil a rotten now.
Oh, mate, look, that's fantastic. And congratulations to both of you. It's a big change in life. Are you thinking about having any more?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
the hormones for the last 12 months has turned me off.
Oh, listen, yeah. Congratulations. Well done. Thank you, John. Lovely to talk to you, mate. See, all jokes aside, congratulations. It's going to be a wonderful time for you. You're going to be a great dad. You're going to be a great dad. There you go. 61, and she's 20 years younger. There's a very good mate of mine, and I don't want to name him on air yet this morning because I don't know if I'm allowed, but he's a regular on the night shift, and he is 65, and he's married a girl who's 28. And he told me last week she's pregnant. So,
wow.
My girlfriend for 2 years before this one was 30 years younger. So you ride bikes and you pull the babes.
Right. Apparently so. Mate.
You're doing something right. Well done, John. Lovely to talk to you, mate. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Love the show. See ya.
See you,
Johnny.
61, going to be a dad. There you are. But I didn't. Who was it? Was it Moses? Can one of you there, have you got a computer, didn't Moses have children into his 80s? And I think Charlie Chaplin did too. Can someone look it up? Jess, can you look it up? I'm pulling this out of thin air.
I know where you're pulling it from, Lugie.
I am. I'm pulling it out of my ass.
Yeah.
Just, Simon, look up Charlie Chaplin, father, and someone look up Moses for me. I think that they were.
Does anybody know what the record to the amount of children people have had in a family from one woman? You know, like how many kids were born?
Like one woman.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying. So it's not like you get married for a second time and there's more kids involved. I'm talking about from how many kids were born. Do you know what a record is at all?
I don't know. Shall we ask the New South Wales Premier Dominic Perrottet? He's about.
Yeah,
to have,
I gotta say,
he's about to have seven.
Yeah, like, you know, just dealing with that, it's mind-blowing because, the costs of it, I guess when you start having that many, the older ones can start taking care of the younger ones, but it's
built-in babysitters.
It's a lot of work.
When I lived on a farm in Young, our next-door neighbour, wonderful man, Philip Taylor was his name, and he had 10. He had 10 children, and I said to him, 10? Why do you need 10? And he looked at me very seriously. This is not a word of a lie. He said, I've got 32 years of gate openers there.
So Charlie Chaplin had 11 kids three different wives.
There you are.
11 with three different wives. It's not about the... the guys can knock out as many kids as they want. It's the women that have to bear the soul of all these children. What does a man do?
Well, his boys
do anything.
Well, the man, his boys have to be able to swim, Adam.
Obviously,
Lukey, I've just had a look. I've just looked it up on Google. Whether this is right or not, a guy named Ferador and his wife Valentina are alleged to hold the record of most children a couple have parented. She gave birth to a total of 69 children.
No.
16 pairs of twins, 7 sets of triplets, and 4 sets of quadruplets.
Is there a photo?
This was between...
What?
Mate, far out.
Is there a family photo? You need a wide screen.
Mate, this was back in 1760-something. Yeah, there's no photos, but it's on Wikipedia. Whether it's right or not, there's a few Guinness World Record. It's on the Guinness World Records. 69 children, from 1707 to 1782.
Jesus.
69 children.
Jesus. So how old were they when they had their last?
Because
you do the maths, Adam. Gestation is 9 months, so that woman's pregnant every year of her life. So
Yeah, look, mate, I mean, that's just, it's just crazy. It's so that was back in that time, and it was in Russia. So, you know, 69 children in one family. It's Jesus just, Christ. It's mind-blowing.
133353. What's the biggest family that you, I have had a couple of calls on the night shift from Irishmen, Catholic Irishmen, who have told me they've had 10. I had one caller who had 12. So what have you got? 133353. What's it like growing up in a big family? Is it fun? Did you have to share bedrooms? Did you get hand-me-down clothes? What's it like growing up in a huge family? Give us a call and let us know what it's like. I'd like to know. I know that when I went to Catholic boarding school, we were taught that contraception was a blight on God. Contraception was unholy. I don't know if the Catholics still teach that, but I guess traditionally that's why Catholics always have big families. We were told that in science by our Catholic dormitory master that the best form of contraception was the rhythm method. Did you ever get taught that, Adam?
No, I'm not a Catholic, mate, believe it or not.
No, it's apparently a science. Have you heard of it, Simon?
No, mate, the rhythm method sounds a bit...
No, you time the woman's...
The mind boggles.
You time the woman's menstrual stream, and it's all to do with dates and calendars, and apparently it's the rhythm method, and that was the method that young Catholic girls would... That was the form of contraception that young Catholic girls were taught to use.
See, I thought when you said rhythm method, it was how the bed shaked. I didn't think it had anything to do with timing.
No. It was a scientific method called... Well, I don't know how scientific it was, because you know what they call people who use the rhythm method, don't you?
Go on.
Parents. The Night Shift on Triple M. The Man Cave with Adam Simon, Luke Boner. Mick, good morning. Mick.
Hello, Luke.
Yeah, Mick, go, talk.
Hello, mate, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Geez, there's a lot to unpack after the last few segments. My goodness. The Fairstar, the fun ship was never either fun or the Fairstar. It was awful.
The Fairstar, it was a very, very shoddy ship on the P&O network. Very shoddy. They used to call it the fun ship, but we used to call it the ship because it mainly attracted young people who were there for one reason. There's no way in the world I'd be caught dead on the thing, but yeah, it served its purpose.
And there was no way in the world it was running around in the early 2000s, but that's another story.
Well, I remember my girlfriend in year 11, her parents went on this cruise. I couldn't wait because it meant her parents were out of the country for a week and a half. But and we were invited on to say goodbye. That was back in the days when you could walk up the gangplank as a guest and sit down in the lounge on the ship and have a drink, so long as you got off afterwards. And I remember looking at it then thinking, this is very ordinary.
I reckon that was the Oriana.
No, I went on the Oriana. It was definitely the Fairstar that my girlfriend's parents went on.
Oh, poor them.
Anyway, what did you want to say, Mick? You're in Darwin, are you?
I am. But I wanted to say, just to your last caller, at 61, the only two-year-old I want to own is a horse, not a young child, but that's another story.
It's definitely a hard work being a parent to kids. And you know, look, I've only just sort of now, mine have left the nest. I've got one back for a week.
I'll be back.
Oh, mate, I tell you what, it's like I'm dating again. We're having fun. We sit down and make dinner together. We're sitting having a chat. There's not the kids around. So it's completely different. And, you know, I love my kids. We've got a fantastic relationship, but boy, it's nice just to have a bit of time, just the two of us.
Imagine
33 years.
Imagine Vegas. Now, Vegas is the same age as me. Imagine Vegas saying to you, by the way, darling, guess what?
We're going to have another child.
We're having another child. Imagine Vegas telling you that at 59.
Mate, well, if she does that, we're going to have a problem, mate. We're going to have a problem.
Because it's not yours?
It wouldn't be mine.
Oh, dear.
And that's, yeah, I took care of that problem a while back, mate. So it's definitely not something that I'd like to hear out of Vegas's lips.
I tell you what, I knew a bloke. This is a true story. Years ago, I was mates with this bloke, and his wife fell pregnant a few years after he had a vasectomy. And the little girl, she's a lovely little girl, but she looked nothing like him. She had seriously dark skin. I mean, she just looked nothing like the other children. But he said he believed that his boys jumped across, and he didn't even question it. We all did. But anyway.
Have you ever seen the movie Me, Myself, and Irene?
No.
With Jim Carrey?
No.
Mate, you've got to watch that movie. It's quite hilarious. He's a Rhode Island police officer, and it's Jim Carrey, and he's got this
spoiler
wife.
Spoiler alert.
And, it's
hang on. Yeah, he does this. Are you giving it away or what?
No, I'm not giving it away. But it is a really good movie, and you'll actually laugh at the beginning of it. The first 15 minutes of it is quite funny. Quite funny. Great movie.
Anyway, Mick, what else did you want to say?
Mate, I was just wondering what your thoughts were on WA. Like, the rest of the country is slowly opening. Like, there's meant to be an Ashes test in Perth in the middle of January. Is that going to happen?
I don't know. It's up to Mark McGowan. And I'll let the boys chime in on this, but I'll tell you one thing that's for sure and certain. Mark McGowan doesn't give a rat's ass what the rest of the country thinks, and he won a state election in a landslide on exactly that.
I think good on him. If he's kept his state free of COVID for locking him in and locking everybody else, good luck to them. They've been running around free as a bird through all this pandemic because of the measures he's put in. So he'll go on, he'll march on through his career, and they'll love him over there.
Oh, that's terrible to hear.
And the other thing is, he has introduced tough new vaccine mandatory legislation. If a worker turns up for work and lies about their vaccination status, they can be fined $20,000. And if an employer employs somebody that hasn't been fully vaccinated, they will cop a $100,000 penalty if they knowingly let them work.
Well, that's a tough one, Lukey. Oh, look, I've already heard of people faking these certificates, these vaccination certificates. I spoke to somebody about it, and I think with technology these days, computers and things like that, people can fake these things, mate. There's going to be a black market for them.
I know.
I've seen them. I've seen a fake passport. It looks exactly the same. There's absolutely no way you can tell any difference unless whoever's checking it watches you go into your phone and actually log into that app. It's exactly the same. You can get anyone's name on it. But I'll tell you this, I've been running around town for a bit now that we're out of lockdown. I've never been asked yet. I've not been asked to show it. I've been asked to check in, but I've not been asked at any stores to show my passport.
Yeah, look, I went to the pub with the boys the other afternoon with your son, Lukey. We stopped in for our first beer at the pub, and they did. They asked us to show double vax.
Yeah.
And check in, and I think it was fantastic that they did. But you know, that's the only time I've been asked. But it was a pub, and we stopped in for a beer in the afternoon. It was a new experience because I'm thinking, wow, this is crazy. I've got to not just check in; I've got to show my vaccination as well to sit down and have a beer.
Yeah, but Mick on the phone from Darwin. How soon is it until that QR code is all linked up to your vaccination certificate? Can you fake a QR code? If there's a national QR code, something that you show at a shop, a pub, and at the airport, Adam, and at the motor vehicle registry, this one QR that talks to every computer, can you fake that?
I don't think so, and I think that's the next step. They have to link up. If you're checking in with a QR code, it goes straight to your vaccination certificate. Because at the moment, you've got to go into your Medicare passport and then prove that and then check in. That's like a 5 minute to walk into a door. you know, to walk into a venue. So they've got to streamline it and they've got to hook it all up together.
Back to you, Mick. Your thoughts?
But, well, the Queensland and the Northern Territory apps are very similar in terms of how they work. But what I've heard from friends that went to the Everest in Sydney last weekend...
The horse races, yeah.
Yeah, so they could, you could airdrop your... People were airdropping their double vaccination certificates to other people.
Really?
Because you can do it over your Apple phone, and you go, well... And no one asks for your ID, so you just show your tick,
yeah,
the big green tick on your iPhone, and then you go, well, off you go, you're in. But John Smith's had 75 people walk through the... So they've got to do something better than that.
I think you're right. I think that the technology will come. But you look, Adam and Simon, the Mick, you look at the lack of technology involved in one of the most important processes of our lives, and that's our democracy. And when you go to vote, you tell them where you live and your name, and they mark you off on a piece of paper.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you might have 20 voting polls in your electorate, Adam and Simon, yep, and you can go into all 20 and have your name marked off. Later on, the scrutineers will look at it and go, oh, Adam McDonald, someone called Adam McDonald has voted 20 times today. They can't prove it was you. Someone that knows your name and your address, Adam, could be masquerading as you. And the other point is, they don't know who you voted for. So they can't counteract it. They can't change it. And that's our democracy. That's our democracy. That's how slack that is, Mick.
Oh, absolutely. Look,
it's government, mate. And government can't get anything right.
It's done with a ruler and a pencil.
Sorry, Mick, go again.
I was going to say, it's done with a ruler and a pencil.
It's done with a ruler and a pencil. And you fill out your ballot with a lead pencil that can be rubbed out and filled in by somebody. That's our that's our democracy. Mick, some good questions. Thanks for your call.
Good on you, Luke. Thanks, mate.
Welcome to the Man Cave, mate. Bye-bye now. 133353 is the telephone number. The Night Shift on Triple M. Van Halen here on the Night Shift. Adam McDonald is with us from the TV show Aussie Pickers. He's the head auctioneer at Lawson Simon Stevenson Home Improvement and Barbecues. And me, absolutely nothing except Swiftgrow. Hey, have both of you got Swiftgrow? Have I sent you both Swiftgrow?
Mate, I love the Swiftgrow. Yeah.
I haven't got any yet.
Well, you don't have a garden.
Yeah, I do. I've just built... This is what I've been doing during lockdown. I've built this massive herb garden.
Oh.
And I've got a huge lawn.
And you don't have Swiftgrow?
No, not yet, Lukey.
Well, mate, I'll fix that today. Simon, you love your Swiftgrow.
Mate, love the Swiftgrow. Well, we've actually done tests where we have been planting seeds of, you know, the missus has been doing herbs and all sorts of stuff. And we've been doing tests where we'll use some Swiftgrow on something that we'll plant, and then on the same plant we don't use it, the difference is phenomenal.
Mate,
it's amazing. Never seen anything like it.
No.
It's unbelievable.
It's taken the whole world by storm, and this is, to think, Simon and Adam, we discovered Swiftgrow because Joe, the microbiologist scientist that's developed Swiftgrow, he rang me randomly one morning for the quickie.
Yeah, it's unbelievable stuff, mate. Absolutely amazing.
He just rang for the quickie one morning.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I said,
incredible.
And I said, what are you doing up? He said, oh, I'm feeding my fish. I said, what fish? And he told me he was a barramundi fish farmer, and he was developing this fertilizer. Well, it's just gone berserk. If it's green and it grows, you're going to love Swiftgrow. As Simon said, do an experiment. Put some Swiftgrow on this part of your garden and leave this part of your garden unswiftgrown and watch the difference. It is amazing. Now, if you can Google, pardon me, if you can, I was eating a seedless watermelon and I found a seed. Do I get my money back?
Only you can do that, Lugie.
Fair dinkum. Joe, develop a seedless watermelon that doesn't have bloody seeds. If you Google Swiftgrow, click on Google Reviews and tell us your success with Swiftgrow. And it might be about your lemon tree, your roses, your lawn, even a broadacre farm. And we would love to see photos too, and they're starting to come through. Simply Google Swiftgrow, tap on the Google reviews, fill out the review, and every Friday, Jess and I are going to reward, here on the night shift, two Google reviewers with a free 1 litre bottle of Swift Grow. I keep saying, if it's green and it grows, you need Swift Grow. By the way, Simon, have you heard of Swift Fort?
No.
Oh. This is another product that Joe has invented. It is completely organic. It's completely natural. But what he's done is he's developed this product, Simon and Adam, and you put it on your garden. You mix it in with the same watering can you mix the Swift Grow. And Swift Fort encourages extra oomph with the Swift Grow. But what it does is it repels bugs. It repels aphids. It repels slugs and snails and insects that ruin your garden. And at the same time, it encourages bees.
Mate, I want some right now.
I know you do. If you order 4 litres of Swift Grow, Joe is throwing in 200 mils of Swift Fort. So go to swiftgrow.com.au. If it's green and it grows, you will love Swift Grow. The quickie's next. Hey, it's Friday. It's Long Neck Friday. For our listeners in Victoria and Melbourne, it is Freedom Friday, or is it? Better than yesterday. Still plenty of restrictions around, but it's a better day today. Guys, it's light at the end of the tunnel, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
We're coming into summer. It's all looking rosy.
Is it? We hope so. Let's hope that... Do you think that today the people of Melbourne are going to go like ape shit, like Melbourne Cup ape shit, like Mad Monday after the AFL Grand Final ape shit? And is today going to... Is today going to be a super spreader?
I don't know. They're a funny bunch, the Victorians. Surely they would have learned their lesson now. Slowly, we'll win the race.
Slow and steady.
Yeah. So hope so.
133353. The quickie, Adam. I reckon we'll get this straight away. Simon, you've got no hope.
Every week. No hope, mate. I never do.
I don't think this is your genre, Simon. I don't think this is. It was a big hit by a massive artist. I won't say male, female band, but I got a funny feeling Adam's going to put his hand straight up because this is very you, Adam. Are you ready?
Yep.
No clues because it's day one of the quickie. Oh, by the way, boys, while you're there, I'll play you yesterday's quickie, which went for 3 days. Tell me if you want to pick this. It was won yesterday. Here is the quickie that was won yesterday, Thursday.
Yeah, right. Nah.
No, I wouldn't.
No way.
Okay, I'll give you the first clue. The first clue, listen carefully. The first clue was, for them, it's 32.
Right. Second clue?
Second clue was not so cryptic. Second clue, the song that this song is from an album that has the same name as the band.
Mate, can't do it. No, I'm no good with these things.
No, you're not.
All.
Adam's ticking. Absolutely. Adam's thinking. He's thinking.
Same name as the band.
The wheels are turning.
So a self-titled album. Mm. And then had it not been won yesterday, the clue would have been 1977. Okay, enough, because that's the old quickie. The quickie that was won yesterday was this. Yeah. So for them it's 32. Water freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit in the United States. For them, it's for us it's zero.
That's such a throw off clue.
Okay, but that was clue one. Clue two is from a self-titled album. Clue three was 77. So that was yesterday's quickie. All right.
Okay.
Here comes today's. Adam, I reckon you'll get this. This is very you, Adam. Today's quickie sounds like this.
It's not even one chord.
If you get that, Adam, you're a magician, mate. You got to be joking, Boner.
No.
You got to be joking.
Someone will get it. No clues on day one. No,
that's the quickest quickie there is.
Hang on a sec. Just do it once more. Do it once more. Got it.
Write it down and hold it up. Don't say it on air.
I have a bloody pen.
I've always told them. Be prepared.
I'm in my boy's study. He doesn't have pens in here.
No. Look under the mattress. There's bound to be a Playboy. 133353. Ted's online for you, Adam McDonald. Ted, yes. Good morning.
Hello.
Good day, Ted. You're on. Welcome to the man cave.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. I was hoping to ask the picker something.
Yeah, mate, shoot.
Today, out of nowhere, my mum brought a watch out.
Yeah.
It's a Rolex watch. It's a 1956 date.
The lady's watch?
Face.
Say that again.
1956 day-date pearl-faced man's watch.
It's a man's watch, okay.
Man's watch. So that was the first, yes, I think that was the first of the...
Look it up. I've looked it up what it might be valued at to buy the same thing.
Yeah, and what did you come up with around 10?
Buying it in the 2021 model.
Yeah.
But I can't find it as a 1956 model.
Okay, Adam, 1956 Rolex man's watch. What's he looking at, Adam?
So with the Rolex brand, it's an iconic brand in timepieces. Buying a Rolex is like it's an investment. You're never ever going to lose on a Rolex. Now on every Rolex there will be a serial number on the inside of the back cover, and that'll tell you exactly the exact date and everything you need to know. So those 1956, I think that was the first run of the Oyster, what they call the Oyster watches. Very hard to tell you unless looking at it and see it's legit, because there's a lot of fakes out there, you know, and some of the fakes are really, really good. But you're looking at, to buy a second one on the secondary market, you're looking upwards of $10,000.
So about 10 grand, Adam?
Upwards, yeah. I'm talking base price here, and I'm talking base price in an auction room. But to buy one off a dealer, to buy one off a secondhand watch dealer, you'll be paying a lot more.
Okay, Ted?
Yeah, well, I've looked it up, and it's base price $52,000.
That's what I'm saying. So it'll all come down to the serial number, how early in the 56 range that Rolex was. It'll come down to the condition, the provenance, you know, does it have the box, does it have the paperwork? But the thing with Rolex, and they did the cleverest thing they did was to put an individual serial number on each watch. So even if you've lost the box, you've lost the paperwork, you've lost the provenance of where the watch has come from, that watch in itself will give you the exact time and date, excuse the pun.
Why are Rolex watches such a holy grail of watches? Is it a wank, Adam? Are they that good? How did the whole Rolex thing start?
I think it's just with the especially with a watch, the precision to make a watch of that nature is unbelievable. And you're talking about 1956, you're talking 70 plus years ago to make a watch that'll be still running, and it'll be running perfectly today. So the precision that went into making these watches, and you're right, it is a prestige item, you know, like you've got 60K hanging off your wrist. I don't get it, but there are plenty of people out there who love these watches and are genuine Rolex collectors. Are you looking to, Ted, are you looking to sell it, or you just wanted to have it valued?
Oh, just valued, because me father passed away in March, and Mum just brought it out today and said, well, I found this, because she lost my grandfather's medals, and we were looking through a whole lot of stuff, and she brought it out, and it just come off the bat. That was
Whereabouts are you, Ted?
Sydney, Wollongong.
Yeah, right. I'll tell you, if Jess gets you your details, I can email you or give you a call, and I can put you in touch with a genuine value. You know, watches aren't my strong point, I'll be honest, but I can put you in touch with someone who will tell you exactly when, why, and how much it's worth. You know, if you want to sell it, I can help you sell it, but I'll be more than happy to help you price it out so you know exactly what you got there.
Okay, Ted's gone back to Jess. Good on you, Adam. Thank you. Is it a wank? Simon, are you with me? Is this whole Rolex thing a wank?
Oh, mate, look, I know somebody that's got a Rolex, mate, and I think it is a bit of a status thing. I just did a little bit of Googling, guys, and Rolex actually officially introduced the day-date watch in 1956. So this means that is the first year, the one he has, with the day-date on it, Rolex, which is probably going to make it more valuable, I'd say, wouldn't it, if it is original.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think with watches, I had a watch go through the auction house a couple of months ago, and it sold for $80,000.
A Rolex.
Yeah.
No, this was a Philippe Patek. It's a very high end brand, a French watch from the turn of the century, but $80,000
for a watch.
But it all does come. It all comes down to, you know, condition as well, doesn't it, Adam? And like you said, there's so many fakes out there. Are some of these fakes that good that, you know, they do trick even the best of the best people?
Absolutely. I've seen watches get $10,000-$15,000 in auction rooms, and then they've been taken away. And these auction houses, they've gone over it with a fine tooth comb and said, yes, it's legit, and that someone's bought it in good faith, taken it away, and sent it off to Rolex, or sent it off to, you know, Rolex would have an Australian representative to say, I will be the be-all and end-all. If I say it's real, it's real. If I say it's fake, it's fake. And these watches have gone off, and they've come back and said, nah, they're not real, and so the money's been refunded. But with the Rolexes, they're going to work. Like the precision and the materials they used, the only thing that's going to be wrong with it is the face is going to be scratched.
So how do you go with something like that if you're buying through an auction house, right, a legitimate auction house? Hmm. I mean, it's not like you're buying it on Gumtree or you're buying it on, you know, Trading Post or something
houses,
like that.
Auction houses will always...
But if you buy something and they say that it's a real Rolex and you've spent $80,000 on a watch and it comes back as a fake, are they then covered by that auction house?
Yeah, auction houses will always have a return policy. If I describe something and I say this is what it is and it turns out it's not, I'm more than happy to give you a refund. You know, right. The auction house, you've got to do that, especially in the secondary market. Like, you're dealing with an amazing amount of different genre of items, you know, like from vintage toys to watches to jewelry to wine to furniture to art. You know, we've got to cover all bases. And you know, no one's an expert on everything. I don't care how smart or how long you've been in the game. No one's an expert on everything. Everyone has their field or everyone has their speciality, but no one's an expert on everything. So there's always a return policy. Every auction house will do it.
1-333-1-333-553 is the telephone number. Would you spend 80 grand on a watch? I've got to be honest with you guys. I think you're all being very, very silly. I mean, that's a ridiculous amount of money to spend on a watch. I bought four Rolexes for $80 at a little bloke opposite the airport in Bali. It just shows. You've got to shop around. Four Rolexes for $80 in Bali. I mean, you guys are mad. You're listening to The Night Shift and Triple M. The Night Shift around Australia and the Triple M network. Thanks to Swift Grow. If it's green and it grows, you'll love Swift Grow. These fantastic taps. You know the hoses that we had put on at home, Simon, the... Aussie hoses, they come, if you'll notice, they come attached with a tap, and it's the easy turn tap. It's one lever. It's a brass lever made in Europe, and God, it makes life easy. We're also here thanks to PowerPol and Nature Bee. I put Adam McDonald onto Nature Bee about a year ago, and was it more than a year, Adam?
Yeah, we're coming up to 2 years, I think. It's been a while.
And I said to Adam, and Adam's a skeptic, he said, I don't believe that all this stuff you're saying. I said, mate, I've been taking it since 2000, 21 years. And I said, Adam, just shut up and take two capsules every day and do it for a week and then tell me what you think. Take it away. This is fair dinkum. Listen to this.
So when I first started, I, you know, as Lukey said, I'm a skeptic about everything, to be honest. It's not instant, and it did take about a week, but there was like I could tell after the week unequivocally that there was a boost in everyday energy, you know. So you're not having these peaks and valleys where you're up and then you're down and you're up and you're down. It's just you're just smooth sailing. You're full of beans. It's it was just amazing. But with the energy levels also comes the sleeping patterns. Mm. Like I'm a terrible sleeper. I'm a 2 hours, wake up for an hour, watch a bit of Seinfeld, get back to sleep. You know, like it's terrible. But now I'm doing 8 hours. I'm not moving. I'm out. I'm resting. I'm breathing. It's just amazing. The sleeping pattern. You can't pay enough money to get a good night's sleep. Like once I had it, I realized how bad I had it before I started taking an HB. So I recommend it to anyone. Truck drivers especially. You know, you need that concentration level for hours on end. Nature B's your ticket, I tell you.
It is. And it comes with a guarantee. So if it doesn't do everything that I and Adam say, you get your money back. So you can give it a go. Get involved for $29.95. But look, here is the deal. You can get 3 months, $69.95 plus delivery, and they'll throw in the bonus creamy honey pollen soaps, which are beautiful. So give it a go. Order online, powerpollen.com.au. Me and Adam recommend it. We guarantee it. I would not endorse it if it didn't work and if it didn't come with that guarantee. 133353, what would you do with $60 million, especially if you were single and coming out of lockdown in Melbourne? Simon Stevenson, what have you got?
Mate, single ticket bought in Melbourne, in inner Melbourne, has just won tonight $60 million in the Powerball. Just unbelievable. And, you know, what a way to come out of lockdown. If you're sitting up right now or you know somebody that had a ticket in this, the winning numbers were 7, 17, 11, 28, 30, 2 and 27, and the Powerball was 11. But what a way to come out of lockdown.
Hang on.
What
were those numbers? I can't write that fast.
Oh, come on, mate. You didn't have it. You didn't win because you're not from Melbourne, mate.
Yeah, but I might need to repeat the numbers for our listeners.
7,
yeah.
17,
yeah.
11, 28, 30, 2, 27, and the Powerball was number 11. So
how does that work?
Two number
11s. So what does that mean? I've never played Powerball. I bought a ticket last time when it was 20 million. I think. Well, so have you got to have every one of those numbers and the 11? Is that how it works?
And the 11. So there's a separate bank of numbers for your Powerball, and then there's your other numbers.
So what if you get all the numbers and not the 11? What do you get?
Well, you definitely get money, but you're not going to get the big prize, and that's the thing.
Tell me this: those numbers to me say that they're handpicked numbers. They'd be birthday numbers or house numbers.
Yeah.
Do you reckon it's someone plays the same numbers every week?
Yeah.
Well, it could
be. I've played Lotto twice, right? I've played it twice in my life.
And you always do birthdays?
No, I just do auto picks, but I've won twice.
What?
And I've won like $30. And $40. So I said, you're not going to win Lotto three times, so I'm not going to play again.
Look, there has been people, I don't know what the record is, but there's been people that have won, you know, a big prize more than once. So
I know a fellow.
Some very, very lucky people out there. But
I know a fellow that used to come to the auction house. He won it twice. I think he won maybe $3 million the first time and $1.5 million the second time.
No.
Yep, and this fellow, he could not burn it fast enough. He was in the in every auction room. He was buying everything. Like, I don't know. I don't know where he's gone now. I haven't seen him for years. But
My parents did own a news agency years ago, and they had a lady come in there, and she'd just lost her job. She had a very not a whole lot of money. She was a single parent. Came into her shop. Came into the parent's shop and you know, spent about, I think it was $4 or $5 on a very small ticket, just thinking, okay, I'm just, my luck's got to change, and won $1.5 million from it. So, you know, it does happen to people, but $60 million, and came out of lockdown at 11:59 today and is $60 million richer.
What are you gonna do?
I reckon they might be throwing a party. What do you reckon?
You're going to go and buy half of Brunswick.
Oh, mate. Amazing.
So it was one, the whole lot?
Yep, the whole lot by one person or one ticket. Look, it could be, you know, it could be a group of people put together on to buy one ticket. Who knows? But it's one ticket, won $60 million.
1333. Have you ever won? Have you ever won a large amount of money? Please give us a call. Tell us, what did you do with it? Was it the best day of your life, or did it end up being the worst day of your life? Give us a call. 7, 17, 11, 28, 32, 27, and 11. Why did I bother repeating those numbers? They're not mine. I don't give a shit. I don't give. Good luck to you. Good luck. Unless of course you want to adopt me.
I'm your new best friend.
Yeah. Here on The Night Shift, we love talking about games that you can play in the man cave. And we've talked a lot over the years about different pinball machines, hence the music there. But just a little diversion this morning. I want to talk to Michael Bayer, the general manager of AMD, Amusement Machine Distributors, about something that we've been playing with in our man cave for the last 3 weeks. And I hate to admit it, but this has created more fun and more involvement than the pinball machine. And I'm a pinball machine traditionalist. But the electronic dartboard, I kid you not, that's what it is. It's an electronic dartboard, Darts Beat. We had some family members over on the weekend. And every single one of them, 10, I think we had 10 over. And there were adults, there were grandparents, and there were little kids. Everyone loved this electronic dartboard. I'll explain more to you in a minute. Michael Bowyer, General Manager of AMD, good morning to you, mate. I've got to say, I am amazed at how much family fun this has created.
Yep, I think I surprised you with that one.
But, you did.
But so I found out very quickly that I'm a better pinball player than what I am a darts player.
Yeah. Okay, but darts have been around for hundreds and thousands of years, and anyone who's travelled through Europe, you can't go to an English pub without playing darts. But if you play a game, for example, 501 or 301, you start at 501 and you go backwards. And unless you've got somebody keeping score that's pretty good at maths, depending on how many beers you have, it can get a little bit difficult. This machine has sound effects. It keeps score for you. It has internet connection so you can play against other players with the same machine. Mate, this is unbelievable. Take us through it.
Well, mate, it's definitely the next generation of electronic darts, and it's a professional darts game that, like you say, that all the family can enjoy. It features a 43-inch touchscreen with optimized touch interfacing and a built-in player camera with 2.1 stereo sound and a subwoofer, interactive LED lights, and as you say, the video interaction is fantastic. But like you say as well, Luke, there's not just a single game that you can play. You can play all the 01 games, 301, 501, cricket, beat match, tournaments. You can actually play 1v1, 1v1, V1. As you say, the online connectivity, we're working on that. That's going to be something that we're working on for next year. But it's easy to assemble, easy to transport, court-operated, free play for home, commercial grade, and I think it's a really good value for money at $64.50.
It is so much fun. You know that I was a bit hesitant to get rid of the pinball and try this. I hope to get a penny back soon, but I've got to say, when we had the family over, Nikki had everyone over for the first family reunion in 18 months because of the end of lockdown. Everybody played this and had fun. Now, these are plastic tip darts, so they're not going to cause damage, but they stick into the board and it keeps score for you. And it makes noises, as Michael just said. There is a subwoofer, there's stereo sound, and because you haven't got to be good at maths, because the machine keeps your score for you, you just enjoy throwing these bloody darts. Mate, well done.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's been something in the making for about a year. And we're pretty proud to release that this year.
I can't believe you had a record during COVID. Well, I shouldn't be surprised, but you had a record year last year in pinball machines.
Actually, record year this year. We'll have
a record year this year.
Yeah, well, if somebody told me last year that during COVID we were going to sell more pinball machines than ever, I would have laughed. But It hasn't been that way at all.
No. And look, people have got some money now. And if you're doing up your man cave, you've got to have one of these electronic dart machines. What are they called? Darts Beat.
Darts Beat, correct.
Okay. Cricket, 501, 301, whatever game you want. The whole family will love it. It sounds great. Michael, what's the next big thing?
Well, we've Stern have just released a new line of pinball machines based on the iconic Toho film franchise, Godzilla. Well, I don't think Godzilla needs too much introduction. It's definitely the most recognised symbols in pop culture as the king of monsters. And like all Cornerstone games, this will be available in the Pro, Premium and a limited edition model.
All right, we'll talk closer to Christmas. Good on you, Michael. Good to talk. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Good on you, Luke. Take care, mate.
Michael Bowyer, the general manager of AMD, Amusement Machine Distributors. You can look, just look them up. Amusement Machine Distributors. Look them up on the internet, and all their contact details are there. Talk to you soon, Mikey.
Good on you, Mike. Cheers, mate.
Blink 182 here on the Night Shift. AMD, Amusement Machine Distributors. Just Google them and have a look. Every man cave should have an AMD machine in it. Got to go back to calls. A lot of people in the lineup wanting to have a virtual beer in our virtual man cave. Simon and Adam, just quickly getting back to the Rolex watch bloke who could have up to $50,000 on his wrist. He's a question. Now, he's gone now. I can't ask him, but his father has just passed away, which is very sad, but his mother has only just brought out this Rolex watch from his box of goodies. She has kept this a secret for how long?
Wow.
Far too long.
What?
Is that normal, Adam? Far too
long. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's lots of instances where I get deceased estates through the auction room and, you know, the furniture's okay. There might be a couple of antiques, but then you'll just jag, there'll be one artwork that Dad bought back in the 40s that's just blown up. And there's lots of, it's not rare. It's not rare at all.
The other thing I want to say about the Rolex watch before we go back to calls, and this was something that I pointed out to you two back in the good old days when you could come in here to the studio before COVID. When you look at commercials or pictures of analog clocks and watches, 99.9% of the time on the face is 8 past 10. And I pointed that out to you. Remember that, Simon?
You did, mate, and I checked it, and you're very right about that. It's an advertising ploy. Because what it is, apparently, it makes you feel comfortable or something to do with the way the hands are. No, I'll
explain to you. Thanks for your help with that, Simon.
Yeah, righto.
It's been going on for many, many, many years, Adam. So just while you're there, Google Longines or Google Seiko or Casio. Google Rolex and have a look at the face of the watch. And if it's an ad, chances are it will say 8 past 10. Just do that for me while you're there. Any brand you want, it'll say 8 past 10, usually. The reason for that, my dad was in advertising and I asked Dad that because I noticed it. One, it's so that the hands are spread so you can see the brand name, because the brand is normally at the top of the watch. So you would have the hands spread so you could see the brand name. But Dad's other theory was it was so that the watch or the clock looked like it was smiling. Because you could have the hands at 20 past 8 and still see the brand name of the watch. But my father's theory was it made the face look like it was smiling. Now, why?
Okay, I'm looking at Rolex now, and all their promotional shots are 10 past 10.
Okay, it says 10 past. It used to be 8 past. Okay, it was always, and even digital clocks, when they came in, the time would say 10:08 to keep the tradition. So Rolex have gone to 10 past 10. It used to be 8 past 10. Pull up another brand. Most of them are 8 past 10. But anyway, so why 8 past 10 or 10 past 10? One, so that you can see the brand in between the hands, Adam.
Yep.
Two, my dad's theory was so that the face looked like it was smiling. To make it friendly. 133353, pull up another brand. Come on, find me 8 past 10, Adam. Buzz, yeah. Buzz, good morning. Are you there, Buzz?
Buzz.
Buzz is gone. I'll come back to Buzz.
He's not snoring. He's not snoring.
It might be. Brett, hello.
Hello, how you going, mate?
Good, thanks, Brett. Welcome to the Man Cave. What's up?
Yeah, I spoke to you the other day about the logbooks and whatnot. I just want to know how you went with it.
What was the story?
About the truckies over their fines and whatnot.
Yeah, what did you want to say?
I spoke to you the other night about it. Remember how I spoke to you about the logbook checker and whatnot?
Yeah, we've since spoken to Rod Hanafy, and we've also spoken to Highway Advocates. What outcome were you looking for?
I've been in trouble trying to find you on local stations because where I've been is in the middle of nowhere. I've only just got back in the Golden Valley area. I thought I'd better ring you up and let you and find out how you went with it all.
But what's your question?
My question is, how did you go with the app?
Oh, I haven't tried the app, but Rod Hanafy has. We had callers on electronic logbooks on Thursday morning. There was one that Warren was using, and the boys are going to come back because Warren said that it wasn't accepted at a truck stop. And there is one that is accepted, but why they're not accepted nationally is still anyone's guess. But, Brett, there was one that was brought up. When did you ring?
When Jess was off.
Yeah, you rang on Tuesday. And you wanted information on electronic logbooks.
I rang you up because people were having traumas with it.
The people are having trouble finding an electronic logbook that is accepted by the RMS or the RTA or whatever. So that seems to be the problem.
All right.
Yeah. I tell you what, Brett, ring back on Tuesday morning at 1 o'clock. And Rod Hanafy has been doing a lot of research since last Tuesday into electronic logbooks, and he'll have a talk to you, okay, buddy?
And also, too, I've got another one for you. Just to deal with this COVID, I've gone and got the jab. I've done everything what I'm meant to do. Now there is places out here where we can't sit down as a heavy vehicle operator, where we can't sit down and have something to eat without having a double jab.
Yeah.
Now, you reckon that's right or wrong?
It's not up for me to say whether it's right or wrong. They're the rules. So having the jab is not compulsory, but it comes with consequences. Simon and Adam, this is what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Go ahead, Adam.
I mean, I don't know what's stopping people. If you've had one jab, why don't you just get the second? I mean, I just can't wrap my head around why people aren't getting it. I really can't.
Because they don't trust it. And I've got to be honest, the government did a really bad job at selling AstraZeneca when it first came out. And the warnings about blood clotting and all of that. There's since been more testing done, and there's just as much chance of getting blood clotting with Pfizer as well. But they didn't do a great job of selling it, and they put all their eggs into the AstraZeneca basket. And we didn't get Pfizer till a lot later. So people who did want to get vaccinated couldn't because there wasn't enough. And then there was that back of mind fear, am I going to get a blood clot and die? Well, we've since found out that no, you're not. Chances are you aren't. You stand a much bigger chance of dying if you get COVID. So I don't think our government did a very good job at selling it in the first place. But, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But is it fair that some truck stops don't allow vaccinated people in? Well, Brett, the same goes for pubs and clubs and other venues right around New South Wales and Victoria today. They won't let you in unless you've been vaccinated.
Well, I've been vaccinated. I'm waiting for my second dose because I've got to wait 3 weeks.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to go get it in mine next week, which is the third week. But I'm just saying, like, if you're still waiting for it, why can't we still sit down and eat?
There's a very good point. So Brett's out there on the road, Simon and Adam. He wants to stop at a truck stop and have a feed. He's had his first jab, but they won't let him in to sit down and have a feed until he's had his second. Is that fair?
No, I don't think it's fair. I mean, you know, we've got to keep going. I mean, it's, you know, people have had to wait. Like, you know, I know that, you know, when I first originally tried to get my vaccination, there was months in advance I had to wait to get it. So,
yeah, it was very slow.
And there's a lot of reasons why people haven't got it yet. They could be waiting because of the slow intake for it, or it could have been, another reason. They could have been in hospital for something. There could have been a number of reasons why they haven't got it yet. But if you've got one, it's showing you that you are getting it. So I think they should be allowed to eat, definitely.
I think I'm with you. Brett, if you've had your first vaccination and you can show the certificate and you say, I have an appointment in 3 weeks to get my second, should Brett be allowed into the truck stop to have a feed if the policy is no one unvaccinated is allowed in? What if you've had one and you're waiting on the second? Brett, let's see what our listeners have to say, eh? Thanks for your call, buddy. Ring back on Tuesday when Rod Hanafy's in, okay? Warren, it's not you again, is it?
Oh, Bone.
Jesus Christ, mate. Why don't you just roll your truck in here to Triple M Central and just, you know, live here?
Listen to me. I sent you all the information on the electronic logbook this morning, yesterday morning. You should have it in your email. It's there, pictures and everything.
Great. I've got nothing else to do on my one day off on Saturday. That's what I'll do.
Well, yeah. Hey, listen, I want to know, do Simon and Adam get appearance money? Because I'm not getting any. I've been on your show nearly every day this month.
Yeah, but you've got, well, I mean, I didn't ring you. You rang me.
Yeah, I know. But
well, what do you want? You want appearance money? Yeah. I tell you what. Okay, Warren, I'll tell you what. I'll pay you double what Simon gets.
Okay, well, that's nothing.
Yeah, that's exactly what that is, Warren. I'm sitting here doing this for free, and he's given me shit for having a day off last week as well.
Yeah, well, mate, I've had a mention nearly every morning. He keeps mentioning my name. He mentions my name more than my wife does.
and you do to this program what you do to her. But listen, let me just say that. Let me just say this to you. You've given me great entertainment over the last couple of weeks, whinging Warren. And in fact, our conversation on you being such a whinger that you could whinge for Australia, I think that's going to make a Triple M promo somewhere.
Okay, so, listen, I want to give you a clip this morning.
Oh, right, go on.
I want to give you a clip. But just firstly, the 75-year-old Indian bloke, he's got better plums than me, mate, seriously.
Well, no, it was IVF.
Well, Eddie Nichols got mine, and Simon, it is possible, mate. I'll give you the doctor's number if you want it.
No.
Mate, don't want any more, thanks. I'm done.
We're done.
And as for the lady that's had 69 children, this goes to show you the old saying, it will stretch a mile before it tears.
Thank you. Okay, that's enough. I think I just got rid of that in time. Warren, thank you and goodbye. Talk to you next week. 1-333-4... Where? Oh, no.
Mate, it was bound to happen. I'm surprised it took that long.
It was bound to happen. I'm glad I got rid of that quick smart. 1-333-53. The quickie.
Yes.
No one's got it. Jess is now saying, Jess is into me when I make it too easy. And now apparently it's too hard. I mean, what do you do? Here it is. Here comes the quickie again. 1-333-53. There's no clues on day one. Richie is in Esperance in WA. Got a question for you, brother Adam.
Richie.
G'day, how you going?
Good, bud. What's going on?
The Rolex is before. I totally understand the Rolex. I collect a bit of Tiffany and Pandora just for the fact that, you know, it's got this prestige behind it, and the prices just keep going up. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's
but,
right.
But the reason I was calling, that wasn't sabotaged by the Beastie Boys, that little quickie, was it?
No, it wasn't. Adam knows what it is now. But, Adam, we have a policy, no clue on day one.
No clue.
But was Adam, was I right in saying that this band... Oh, shit. Okay, it's a band. Did I... Well, am I right, Adam, that this is sort of your style?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Okay. No, I'm sorry, you're wrong, though.
Yeah, no worries. So the question I did want to put the guys is, so I was looking after an elderly gentleman. He collected a bit of artwork, and he gave me a piece, and I do not know what to do with it. He's long past. But I can't find anything about it. The framing address on the back is that old, a little place in Adelaide that is now a Bunnings. It's got a 5-digit phone number. How do I go about looking? I've looked on the net. I've tried photo recognition of the signature, everything. I can't find anything about the artist.
Just send the photos to me, mate. I'll be able to find it. I've got a crack squad of art experts down there at Lawson's. There's not much they won't be able to find out what it is and who it was. But you can hit me up on What's It Honestly Worth on Instagram. Send me the photos there and I'll be able to sort you out. No problem.
What's it honestly worth?
Yeah.
Oh, what is it honestly worth? Yep, no worries. Yep, I'll definitely do that.
Cheers. I'd be more than happy to help you out, Richie. No problem.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you very much. Are you guys from the West Australia area?
We are everywhere. Here on the night shift, we are a little bit like God. Okay, we're omnipresent. Okay, we're correct, boys. We are.
That's correct.
We are everywhere. Thanks for your call. 1-3-3. Did I say we're like God? That was That was like John Lennon saying that the Beatles were bigger than
Jesus. Are
you
wearing a Rolex?
No, I don't. I don't wear a Rolex. I bought four. I bought four for $50 in Bali, though. Adam, did you look up other watches? 8:10, correct?
Yes. So Longines.
No, 8:10. 8:10.
Yeah. So Longines are 8:10.
Casio is.
But Tag Heuer are 10:10.
Okay, but it's close. It's 2 minutes.
Yeah, within 2 minutes. But they both have that sort of V.
Okay, but it used to be 8:10.
Because a lot of these high-end watches, their branding is underneath the 12. So then when the time sits there, the hands sort of encase their branding.
It frames the branding. But yep. my dad, who was in advertising, also believed it made the face of the watch look like it was smiling.
I would have made it like at 5 o'clock. There's got to be 5 o'clock somewhere in the world.
Oh, very good, Adam. That's very good. Boys, I'm going to let you go. No one's got... Oh, hang on. Jess says, take the quickie caller. It might have gone off. James, hello.
G'day. How are you going?
James.
Hey, James.
I don't know, I didn't understand a word he was saying. What did you say?
The Beatles, A Hard Day's Night.
It's a very bad line, but he said it's A Hard Day's Night by the Beatles. It sounds like that opening chord. No, it's not. I'm sorry, James. 133353. Welcome to our listeners in Victoria, Melbourne. Welcome to Freedom Day, 263 days in lockdown over today. But it's not real freedom, but it's better than it was yesterday. Simon Stevenson, if people want to get in touch with you.
simonshouse.com.au, or you can go to Instagram or Facebook and look me up, Simon's House. If you've got any home improvement questions at all.
Or barbecuing.
Through there, barbecuing as well, absolutely.
Good on you. Yes, Adam, you've got the right band.
I've got it. I know what it is. I need a T-shirt. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. What else do you want? How are you off for socks and undies? You want them as well?
No, I'm having Swiftgrow. Thanks. I've been hanging out for me Swiftgrow.
Swiftgrow, some Nature Bee T-shirt. I'll send you the whole lot. Adam, if people want to get in touch with you,
yep, go to What's It Honestly Worth on Instagram. Just message me there. And I'll be able to help you out with whatever you need.
Adam McDonald, Simon Stevenson, it's been a pleasure and yet a chore.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good day,
boys. See you next week.
The Night Shift, Triple M.